We're going to be reading some more from God's Word today, from the book of Romans. That's in the very last part of the Bible. Romans chapter 8, and we'll be reading from verse 31 to verse 39. So Romans 8, verse 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Well, hey, how did you respond 3 weeks ago to that mega viral video, Will Smith's now infamous moment at the Oscars slapping comedian Chris Rock for comparing his wife to G.I. Jane? Some of you no doubt could not care less, more Hollywood nonsense you muttered to yourself. But I'm guessing that at least some of you had an opinion. Maybe you wished Chris Rock had pressed charges. It's going to stay online forever after all, and I mean, he just shouldn't get away with that. Or maybe on the other hand, especially after you heard that Smith had been barred from the Oscars for the next 10 years, maybe you actually felt just a little bit of sympathy for him. I mean that's tough. Haven't we all sometimes overreacted to something, especially if we've been provoked? Maybe you didn't agree with him, but there was just a little bit of a sense of fellow feeling for him. Okay, variety of responses to what happened on that day, and you saw it all online. And that's not surprising. It's not surprising because on the one hand, there is something inside of us that is innate that says that, you know, justice should be done. We know that people shouldn't get away with what they do just because they're rich and powerful, and so we speak out. But then on the other hand, when we look at ourselves, more often than we would like to admit, we feel something of our own vulnerability. We know that we ourselves are vulnerable to accusation, even to the kinds of accusations that we bring against others. And so there's this kind of tension that goes on inside of us. Now, over the Easter period, we are doing a series called Christ Who Conquers, looking at the victory that Jesus has won for us. And this morning, as we remember Jesus' death at the cross, what we're thinking about is we are thinking about Jesus as victor over our accusers. Okay, we're looking at Romans chapter 8 this morning. We read that passage moments ago. And the writer there in verse 33 has these amazing words. He says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. What an amazing thing to say, that through Jesus we can be released from condemnation. We can be those for whom no charge is able to stick. It's just, it's an amazing thing to say. I mean, think about it for yourself. How many of us could actually say that there's no one around who could bring any charge against me? How many of us could actually say that? I know that I certainly couldn't. I mean, I suppose I could pretend, of course. I could try to, you know, stand up here from this nice distance and polish my halo and spin a good story. But the reality is my wife is in the audience and my kids are here and other members of staff, and so it's just not going to wash. Okay, just in this past week, I found myself apologising to Simone for thoughtlessly booking up a couple of dates that she had asked me to keep free. It's like Kirky had one job and I failed. And I was apologising to one of my sons for responding too harshly to him. You know, it just doesn't take too long for me to start cataloguing up the charges that could be brought against me. And I think we all know that. We all have those who could bring some charge against us. Whether it's close family or friends or someone in our workplace or maybe someone from church. Worst of all, even if by some miracle we feel as if we could escape all of these, then there's our conscience. That sense that we haven't lived up to our own standards, or when we think of him, that sense that we haven't lived up to the standards of God. And this, our internal accusation, I think sometimes that can be toughest of all, the dark night of the conscience. And so with that in view, what a surprise it is to read here that for those who trust in Jesus, no one is able to bring something against us. Who, our writer asks, will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one, he says. Amazing thing to say. Now, of course, it's not that no one could possibly have a bad word against us, or that we could never experience the pang of our conscience. We all experience these things. But what it's saying here is that for the follower of Jesus, no one's able to bring against us a charge that ultimately will stick. What it's saying is for the follower of Jesus, even your own conscience is not going to be able to bring against you a charge that in the end is going to stick. Because for those who are in Jesus, we are no longer under condemnation for what we've done. Our guilt has been removed. Our judgment has been removed. The blame for what we've done has been taken away. So that there's now no one who's able to condemn you for what you've done. Not your accusers, not your conscience, not even God. That's an amazing thing to say. But how can it be true? How can I know that I'm no longer under condemnation? Well, I can know this because Jesus has died for me. Let's take another look at what's said here, verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is he who condemns? No one. Then he goes on and explains further why the follower of Jesus isn't under condemnation anymore. He says, Christ Jesus who died. More than that, is also risen from, raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What he's saying is that Jesus in his death paid for our sin, and now he's actually with God pleading our case, is what he's saying. The picture here is the picture of Jesus as our advocate, as our legal defender. Okay, here is Jesus standing in the highest law court that there is. This is higher than the High Court of Australia. This is higher than the International Court of Justice. This is the very courtroom of God. And here Jesus is in this courtroom of God and he's advocating for his people on the basis of what he's done. And he's saying, you know what? None of these charges against him, none of these charges against her, none of them can stand, none of them can stick. They cannot be pronounced guilty. Why? Because I've taken it on myself. I've taken their wrongdoing on me, borne the legal burden of what they have done at the cross. It's a little bit like the legal principle of double jeopardy, only that Jesus has taken our accusation. Okay, an accused person can't be tried twice for the same charges. And essentially what Jesus does at the cross is he says, I'm going to stand in the place of the wrongdoer, bear their accusations, take the blame for that, suffer the penalty. So now it's actually impossible for them to receive accusation again. Absolutely impossible. Now no condemnation can come on you, even in the highest courtroom there is, the courtroom of God. And if the accusations against you can get no traction in the courtroom of God, then in reality there is no one who can bring a charge against you. That's what's being said here. And so through Jesus you can know that you are no longer under condemnation because Jesus has borne that for you at the cross. And what that means for you is that as you trust in Jesus, you can face this life with confidence. You know, isn't it so true that often in our lives we live in the wake of our own insecurities? We have a sense of our failures and so we live out of that. We respond out of guilt. Or we beat up on ourselves. We curse ourselves out of a kind of a sense of self-atonement. Or we deflect the burden that we bear onto others. We blame others. Or we work ourselves into the ground in order to be someone, to make up for our failures. Or we're always looking for the approval of others. We're living our lives in order to avoid the judgment of our mates or of our family or of society. Maybe we're even afraid these days that we say the wrong thing on social media or our workplace or school or at uni and there's a sense that we might be cancelled or something like this, right? There's this sense in which we're living out of fear rather than out of love. And what Jesus does for us at the cross is he releases us to no longer live out of those fears, but to know that while it's right for us to face our failures and to deal with them as best as we possibly can, yet we need not let them define us and we need not live in the shadow of those whom we fear may accuse us. Because we are secure in Christ. And we are loved. Loved so much that he was willing to die for us. To remove our every accusation. See, the work of Jesus at the cross, it was more than simply a legal act, wasn't it? It was more than simply removing our guilt. But yes, it was that, absolutely. But more than that, it was an act of love. And so you'll notice that our writer finishes by filling the follower of Jesus with confidence for the future. He writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors, he says, through him who loved us. See, can you see the confidence that comes from all of this? Can you see the sense of assurance that we gain to ride the waves of life through seeing what Jesus has done for us at the cross and through trusting in him. Here is one in whom we have complete security. Here is one who at the cost of his life has completely dealt with our greatest opposition, and so we trust him for everything else. We know that in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is the confidence that we gain as we look to the cross and as we trust in Jesus. And so the question for each of us here to consider this morning is, do I have that confidence? Do I have this confidence that comes from being a follower of Jesus, from knowing that Christ has died for me, and that there is no condemnation for those who trust him, that I'm secure in him? Is that the confidence that you have? Because this is a confidence that is available to each one of us as we put our hope in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for what Jesus has done for us at the cross. I thank you for his great love. Thank you for the confidence that we gain as we look to him, a knowledge that we are no longer under condemnation, a sense that we don't need to keep on striving to prove ourselves. Thank you for the security that we have as we trust in him and what he has done for us at the cross. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.